and welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly. I'm a self-love expert, an intuitive healer, and also your hostess for this podcast. You are about to hear inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence, maintaining self-love and sanity, as we answer the calling of being a healer and running a business. I would really appreciate it if you could help me grow this podcast by telling others about it and by becoming a patron by donating monthly or giving a generous one-time donation. When you donate, it lets me know that you love what I'm doing, and by donating, you are supporting me, a healer running a small business. You can find the PayPal link on theconfidenthealer.net and in every show note. So thank you so much for being here, and let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly, your hostess and founder of the 9-month Confident Healer Reiki training program. So today I have the pleasure of talking with a very impressive and a wonderful man. He's dedicated his life to serving people in his community, especially as president and headmaster for the Mountain Institute for Kung Fu and Tai Chi, a nonprofit organization in Ojai, California. They provide instruction to martial arts students from all walks of life, from at-risk youth to seniors and rehabilitation facilities and everyone in between. He describes the study of traditional Chinese martial arts as learning to work hard, achieving peaceful confidence, and being part of a community. The Ojai Kung Fu Club community inspires the student to be good citizens, virtuous, fulfilled, and engaged in their well-being. His martial arts studies began in earnest in the late 70s when he was stationed at Kunsan Air Force Base in Korea. In 2010, he was promoted to the rank of Master, 8th degree, by the Hanglingdo Federation. His title of Sigong means teacher of teachers. He has studied various martial arts systems, including Shotokan Karate, Taekwondo, Bak Shaolin Eagle Claw, Wing Chun, and familiarized himself with all the important movements in the martial arts, such as kickboxing and mixed martial arts. He co-wrote and produced Self-Defense for Everyone video program. His class is currently held at the Ojai Recreation Center. And like I said, this amazing man also holds a PhD in Organizational Transformational Studies from the Adizes Graduate School and a Master's in Technology Management from Pepperdine University. Without further ado, please welcome with a big hug to the Confident Healer Podcast, Sifu Daryl Gooden. Yay!
Thank you, Sharmila. Thank you so much, Sharmila. Yes, my pleasure to be here. So I'm excited about this and honored that I would be on your show. You know, I've tracked you since we first met over a decade ago, and I realize your practice has stayed intact. And I just sort of keep up with you. So it was great that I get this opportunity to spend a little bit more time with you. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I know, because it's been a while. I hadn't, mm-hmm. you know, since lockdown, I hadn't seen you. And so this whole thing came about because we were standing in line at getting breakfast
right.
a couple of weeks ago in the morning. Yeah. So I just love the serendipity of it. And then you were talking to me about your meditation practice, about heartfulness, about, you know, and visiting, going back to India to visit and visit mm-hmm. the organization there. And so here we are. On the Confident Healer Podcast. So yeah, you have such an interesting, when I met you, we met through some event that was happening, some healing event, and right. your colleague, Sifu Tom, who is no longer with us, was mm-hmm. there, and you were there, and you were both, you know, we're talking about Kung Fu, and then I learned about, you know, the club. At the rec center in Ojai. Mm-hmm. And so it's just fascinating because of your background in, you know, martial arts has always been a theme, and it seems like, you know, meditation and just, heartfulness, not mindfulness, mm-hmm. but heartfulness has just been, is a part of who you are. So how did you, I kind of want to talk about the martial arts piece first.
Okay.
How, Just being in Korea and stationed there just got you interested in the art form?
Well, you know, I go back when I was a kid growing up in Los Angeles, you know, everybody was into Bruce Lee. Now, I don't know where the generation today is, but you probably know who Bruce Lee is, you know. And so I was inspired by watching those movies from the 70s and early 80s, watching Kung Fu movies. So I was always interested in that. And when I had the opportunity when I was in the military to actually practice it, I took advantage of it. And I stayed with it ever since. You know, it's just a part of my life. And I would tell you, martial arts has been a part of my life throughout my life, you know, from the early ages of 12 years old, you know. And so I would say, from the fact that I've worked many years in organizational development, the man who met me saw I was a black belt and said, oh, I'd like to get into martial arts. I told him, well, you hire me and I will get you a black belt. And I did. We've been friends ever since. It's been 35 years. We've been friends, you know. So basically, martial arts is a way of life. And I would tell you about martial arts, and I would love to talk more if we have enough time to about heartfulness, because it's really, really important for all aspects of life. And even with the theme of your program, health, all these things touch upon that. But in martial arts, what I practice is, of course, is useful for what I call peaceful confidence. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, it's a good means by which to be a part of a community. It's a bit of a you know, I never joined a fraternity in college or anything like that, but it has that fraternity sorority kind of a thing. The thing about Kung Fu that I like so well in this day and age is that many of the heroes in Kung Fu and heroines are from the inception of Kung Fu have been men and women. Nuns and priests from the Shaolin Temple, is the story goes, have been responsible for promulgating the health benefits of martial arts in general, but Kung Fu more specifically. In fact, Kung Fu was founded, at least Southern Shaolin, which is part of what I practice, was founded by the Buddhist monk that went to India, excuse me, that came from India to go to China to teach Zen Buddhism, and found that his students just couldn't hang. They couldn't deal with the meditative practice. So he had to put them into practice to train them so that their bodies could take the demand of the meditation itself. And that's one of the origins of Southern Shaolin anyway. And so I've been practicing for over 30 years. It's very much a part of my life. It's the community I belong to. And it's given me the opportunity to travel the world. I've been to China in competitions with young people. I bring a team over there. I've been to Korea practicing. And so it's just a part of my life and probably will be a part of my life forevermore. In Kung Fu, you don't need a ball. You don't need a bat. You don't need anything. You just need your body and the space to make some movements. So my Kung Fu is, peaceful confidence, part of a community. And there's this thought in martial arts, particularly in Kung Fu, of the superior person, which is to say you need to be well-versed in music, well-read. You ought to be a person who have somewhat of a healing art in and of itself. A real Kung Fu master would also be a practitioner of Chinese medicine at the real masterful level. So for me, I'll attend seminars on health and keep track of things like that, or listen to a book or something, but I'm not actually a Chinese medicine practitioner, but I appreciate it. And so in this modern day and age, being read up on all the means by which Kung Fu ought to contribute to one's life, I avail myself to, you know. And so, and share it with the students. They're really, really good students in Ohio. Really good. And we have students around the world, not around the world, but mostly in the United States. And we stay in touch. It's sort of a loose confederation, if you will.
Wow. Wow.
So that's my martial arts.
Yeah. It's interesting when you talk. So what is peaceful confidence?
So peaceful confidence, a good question. Never thought about it as a question, but peaceful confidence is as you get to center yourself, it's down to the point of when you're centered. And I learned this from a Aikido master, you know, because I've always admired Aikido. I love all the martial arts, first off, but each one has a different thing. Aikido, is the one that impressed me so much so because of the centering that is highly focused with them. In Aikido, they have no punches. They have no kicks. There's no offense. In their philosophical leaning, and I'm not an Aikido master by any means, but I understand enough to realize the centering is very useful, because in centering, if something comes at you that seems to be a threat or harm to you, you simply get out of its way and you help it go where it needs to go so that you're not harmed. And that is fundamentally based on how centered you are. So peaceful confidence is to know that I am centered, comfortable in my own skin, aware of my internal well-being, and aware of the external forces for which I have to deal every day with.
Right. Not just, and external forces can mean anything, not just a fight.
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Or a physical fight, you know, or defending your life, more of just like, and it's, well, it's interesting too, like with your, with the work that you did with your career, working with organizations, and how that played a part. How did that play a part? And that must have influenced your leadership style. And
it did, you know, so in my work, which is doing change management with organizations, small groups, large groups.
What does that mean? Change management. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I know. Cause I'm like, well, okay. So you're managing change, because change is always happening. So
it's always happening. Yeah.
Right. So what is, yeah.
So let me get more specific.
Okay.
So I want to make sure I address, how does that show up in my work? This, this peaceful confidence,
right,
if you will.
Yes.
Am I tracking right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So where it shows up in the work, in my practice of what was called organizational change management, go into organizations, help them to deal with the external forces bringing up, impacting a group, so folks have an understanding and get clarity about how's that impacting us and are we all on the same page. So organizational change management is really about constructive management of conflict. This conflict does not necessarily have to be negative, but it is energetic. You know what I'm saying? There's energy.
Yes. Yes.
You have different interests. You have different styles. You have different intentions. And that means, I mean, people walk into a room and by themselves, not having anything to do with everyone else in the room, they walk in conflicted within themselves. So now multiply that by 25 people.
Right. And, right.
Okay. Right. So this is how peaceful confidence shows up with that. There's two elements of it. One is, as I am in the room, charged with facilitating organizational change management, what do I have to do? I have to validate the intrinsic right for an individual to be who they are in the manner they are. Just that. Nothing more, nothing less. I can't put my expectations upon them. I have to, what I call, intrinsically validate another human being's right to be who they are, act the way they are.
Right. So meeting them where they're at.
Yeah, meet them where they're at.
Right.
Now we have to put outside of that, you have bad actors who have ill, you know, fated intentions. And so I'm not talking about dealing with the pathologies.
Right.
I'm telling you, the 80% of us who are just trying to work it out will show up and have some level of intrinsic validation as a person of goodness, so to speak. And so being a person of peaceful confidence, the ego is put in check, so to speak, and I'm there holding your agenda. Is that what you want? Is that what you hear? So it shows up like that in the room. And for a facilitator who's an organizational change management person, you want to be present with those folks. Now, what that means is, if you really are good at this, they are working, they are doing the work that they have to do. You're facilitating it. But at the end of the day, it may cost you something in terms of your own well-being, because you're putting yourself into that and you're expending energy, attention, and time.
Right.
And one of the things I know you do is Reiki. And one of the practices we had in organizational change management was the consciousness of the facilitator, change agent, so to speak, to refresh themselves. And what we did as a practice at the Adesis Institute was we availed ourselves to the training in Reiki, mainly so that we can be replenished, so that we can show up the next time for a client. I mean,
wait, so at this graduate school, that's where you learned Reiki?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where I learned Reiki.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Because if you, if you're going to be present for other people, you have to be healthy. You have to be, and Reiki is a self-healing almost kind of a thing.
Right.
I
mean,
that was my introduction to it. You know, I'm not at the level you are, but I got an appreciation, and from that point on, really understood why one has to take themselves offline and refresh and replenish. You know, so you can be vital the next time you show up for something. And so I sort of, it's a continuum for me. You know, my martial arts was a very personal thing, very personal experience. And it's given me lots of opportunities. And as I moved into the interest of organizational change management and transformation, which fascinates me, all these things showed up. And my particular practice and meditation, for instance, after the Reiki experience, you know, I was at a conference in Boulder, Colorado, right? I was on this panel and my part was to talk about martial arts, just like we're doing now, and why is it healthy and what's good about it for the person's personal development. On the panel with me was a guy who practiced meditation and was a yoga person who did Hatha yoga or something. It was like, that was the theme of it, you know, self-wellness was the theme of this conference. And everybody spoke and said what they did, but the meditation guy felt the need to have all of us meditate. Like, I don't meditate, you know, like this is an imposition, but I did it. It was only 2 minutes, you know, but that was my first introduction to meditation. And I managed to get through the 2 minutes of it. Fast forward 4 or 5 years after that, one of my colleagues at the Adesis Institute was a practitioner of heartfulness. And I thought, oh, that sounds good. That's not like transcendental meditation or mindfulness that everybody does, and no, nothing against that. But it just struck me that heartfulness made sense because there's this dynamic, let's call it, between what is the primary organ? Is it the mind, the brain, or the heart? Well, I'm in the camp that it's the heart. And so much of what I do comes from the place of heartfulness. I was truly intrigued. I said, well, yeah, okay, so what is it about? How do I kind of practice it? You know, I'm a Christian. I told the guy, I said, I'm a Christian, so I'm not sure this is for me. He said, well, you don't have to forgive. You don't have to forego any of your beliefs. This is just a discipline. And for the last 14 years, you know, or so, a little bit more than that now, I've been a practitioner of heartfulness, at times much more engaged than others. And it is a very simple practice. You meditate in the morning and the evening. And when the opportunity arises, you go to a satsang with some like-minded people. And it's very rewarding. I'll just say it like that. You know, if you're everybody ought to be at the job of working on themselves. And they're...
I agree.
It's an ongoing thing, right? Right. And heartfulness, I'll tell you, heartfulness shows up for me, you know, it's so strange. It's like something's going on. Like right now, I'll tell you, so much is going on. It hits me. Oh, I need some meditation. I just need to go gather myself and get a minute and see what's up. And that's how heartfulness shows up for me. Every time I know it's not the right way to do it. You should do this discipline all the time, no matter what. But at times when life is real challenging, you got to go there.
Yeah. Well, that's the right way. The right way is fitting it into your life, however way you can. That's what to make it right for you. It's a practice to you. You just show up wherever you're at. Right.
Yeah.
What was the technical term? The technical term for showing up for where the person's at.
Oh, I call it intrinsic validation.
Intrinsic validation.
Yeah. Intrinsic validation is to accept the person where they are and just that, you know.
Right.
It's interesting because in my travels and in the things I do, I would hold public workshops, you know, and I held a public workshop on the election day when Donald Trump was elected, right? It's so fascinating, you know, the methodology I use in my practice of organizational change management I've done for over 20 years is something called spiral dynamics integral. And if you're familiar with the integral movement, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the integral movement. And the folks at Integral, they follow Ken Wilber. Are you familiar?
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say. Was thinking of his face and then his name. Yeah. Okay, Ken Wilber. Ken Wilber,
right. Now, I had the opportunity to go to his home in Boulder, Colorado, but I missed it because I was on one of my Kung Fu trips back in Beijing, but I missed it. But I had attended some workshops with him. And so my discipline of spiral dynamics combined with the integral philosophy or integral psychology, I sort of use these two. Right. And one of the things that I attended a World's Future Society meeting, and I was blown away by the lecture of a man named Don Beck, Dr. Don Beck, who founded the spiral dynamics movement. And spiral dynamics is a social psychology, and it's descripting, it's a framework that explains life and existence in terms of values.
Hmm.
Everyone values something for a different reason. And I won't go into that's a whole nother conversation, but the takeaway is that one of the things driving my interest in organizational change management was looking at the deeper things that cause people to do what it is they do and act the way they act. You could take it on the surface that it's ethnicity, color of your skin, gender, all those things are relevant. But at a deeper level, it's what spiral dynamics explains, it's your living condition. What condition you find yourself in life will manifest in what you put meaning to. For instance, if you're a very poor person living in a very poor country, you really don't have the luxury to think about what color car you want to get. You have more fundamental problems to deal with. It was very similar to the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Right.
Well, spiral dynamics is a hierarchy of values. And Maslow and the contemporary of the man who actually did the research on spiral dynamics, a man named Dr. Claire Graves, who's a professor at Unity University, I think, in New York, Schenectady, New York. But basically, this methodology has been around for 50 years. If you look online for spiral dynamics, you'll see all kinds of stuff on it. And it's a powerful framework for understanding reality in the way people manage to go through it. Dr. Beck's work, who was my mentor in this, was interesting because he was the consultant who worked with Nelson Mandela and de Klerk and helping to transform South Africa from apartheid to a free democratic society without a civil war, which is a big deal.
Right.
Look at it, a major racial civil war.
Right.
And Beck was instrumental in that. So that methodology informs a lot of what it is I do. And so, you know, with Kung Fu, it's very much a local practice, which is right after my family. It's my extended family of the Kung Fu community. In terms of what I'm doing to heal and make a difference in the parts of society I show up in is what I think my practice of organizational change management vis-a-vis spiral dynamics integral, that all kind of comes together. But being involved with spiral dynamics integral has taken me, I'm plugged into a community that's called Living Cities Earth. It's a very fascinating group of people. This from around the world. We meet once a month, and there's various working groups and things like that. And so I'm fascinated by that. So yeah, you could see why I would have to then go back to heartfulness and go, wait,
right?
Ah, I need a minute. Right. Anyway, sorry to run on. So
no, it's interesting because I don't work in the corporate sector at all. You know,
you should be happy about that.
Yeah, I am happy about that. I tried to do my best to avoid that. And you know, there's just a lot of, let's call it unscrupulous things that corporations do, which mm-hmm. part of it has a lot of a big influence in the world and government mm-hmm. because they pay.
Yeah, that's right.
They pay people in the government to make laws for them to do the things, for them to conduct business. And mm-hmm. so these organizations are really the ones that need the Adesis and the, yep. what did you call it? The Spiro, is it Spiro?
Spirodynamics.
Yeah. Spirodynamics.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
You know, and so it's fascinating that you were working in, I don't know how, what type of companies, but that there are people who are corporate minded and not just like, oh, I'm going to come into your corporation and teach you all about Reiki. And it's like, no, it's what it, I can't even get that. I can't get it to stick in my head. The technical.
Intrinsic value. You like that intrinsic validation.
I do, because it's like, I was like, you're describing like, oh, you mean meeting people where they're at.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
I'm being the folksy person. Oh,
yeah, you know. That's a very academic way of saying it.
Right, exactly.
Validate. Right.
Yeah.
You mean meeting people where they're, you said
right.
it very plainly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But that's what it means.
But that's what it means. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating. And so I can, you know because I didn't, you know, we just know each other from just the running community. into each other. And I mm-hmm. I knew that you taught Kung Fu and did something with, did something a lot with business, something yes. very
esoteric, they call it.
Yeah. Esoteric in business. Right.
That when I go into meetings, they go, oh God, this is the guy with the esoteric bullshit.
Right.
That's what they say about me.
But, yeah. but I didn't know that, because to me, it's like a very professional, I don't know, demeanor that you give off, the way you carry yourself. So I just like, oh yeah, he works and he does something important with companies. I don't really know what that is. I don't know what that, but what you're doing is you're cloaking, you're a ninja.
That's right.
You're a ninja That's of right. compassion.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. Because what we see is you're absolutely right, Chanel. Because we have to go in stealth mode.
Right.
You can't come in and say, hey, I'm here to help you change.
Right.
You're not right.
Right.
That's just not how you open up. You got to go in very slowly. And I'll tell you, I've had some really rewarding experiences. I'll tell you this one real corporate story that shows you how it combines, right?
Right.
Which you'll see in the story, the element of not intrinsic validation, but centering, the peaceful confidence, the other thing we talked about, peaceful confidence. So the very first time I was on my own to do one of these programs, change program, I go in, it's 24 people, 25 people, something like that. And I'm going opening my spiel, telling them what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. And some guy raised his hand and said, you know, sir, I'm sure you're very good at what you do. You know, so I had an illustration on the screen that showed a life cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Person grow up. They teenager, they become productive, they're very productive, and then they get stable, and then they get kind of, you know, staid and bureaucratic. And this is the organizational life cycle.
Right.
Just like people who have a life cycle, organizations have a life
right.
cycle.
True.
And at the end of the life cycle, after bureaucracy, autocracy, and all this, there's death. So he says to me, with all due respect, I'm sure you're good at what you do, but you know, on your curve right there, you're showing us, you see the one on the bottom right after the curve goes down where it says death? He says, we've been there twice. So I really, with all due respect, I just don't know what you can tell us, because we've been there twice. Now, they had been downsized, if you know the term. Mm-hmm. In corporations, they start firing people, right? They had went through two downsizing. They went from 170 people down to like 110. And by the time they brought me in, there were like 40 people in the organization.
Wow.
That's why he said, you see that? We've been there twice. So what are you going to tell us? With all due respect, what can you tell us? And I'll tell you this, Chanel, at the end of those 2 days, people were crying. I kid you not. You know why they were crying? They were crying because they realized, oh, we can take responsibility, design hope in our processes and efforts so that we as human beings and people are acknowledged in the situation. Okay, as an organization, you got to do what you got to do, but I have to do what I have to do to maintain myself. And what we show them is ways and means that you guys can collectively hold hands to cross the street, so to speak. And I was blown away because I was brand new at this. I went back. I called the Adhesive Institute, said, hey, listen, I got a real situation. You know, but it just so happened, one of my colleagues who was from Serbia had just gone through the Serbian War. And she wrote a paper on coming back from death. And I used her paper to kind of reorient myself and just did the methodology. You just do the methodology, which is why it's so important to have a methodology, you know, whether it's meditation, change management, martial arts. There's nothing as powerful as a good methodology that's been proven. And Adhesive has been around for 70 years or something like that. Small, very small, but very, very effective and worldwide. You know, I mean, they got like 20 offices around the world. It's not big like Deloitte Touche. I mean, they're not big, you know, like Boston Consulting. But although Boston Consulting tried to buy them once, you know. So in the industry itself, they're well known. But I just, that was a very rewarding experience. And that's when I realized, because like you said earlier, if the world is going to become what's next for it, and Inspired Dynamics, so interesting because it's color-coded. I look at the chakras behind you there. Mm-hmm. Inspired Dynamics is color-coded. Now, I didn't borrow from the chakras, but it's interesting. It's an interesting corollary. And what the takeaway was that the only way the planet can heal and be better is that we have to rein in and transform corporations to have a soul. They have no souls. They're like zombies.
Well, I mean, well, it's fascinating talking about that. It's just what they value, right? How they were brought up. Maybe they were brought up very wealthy and it's like, well, this is what you do. You just take over shit. You just take over. You don't care about these people. I'm going to put my pipeline here. I don't give a fuck about your water. Like, who cares?
It's a values thing.
That's right.
And if all you value is success and money at the expense of the well-being of the community, to the degree those things are in clash, you know, at some point. Now, the one thing with Spider Dynamics Integral, I'll tell you this, is that the theory, underlying theory suggests as life gets more complex, the human being or the collective human being, if you will, the capacity to deal with the next level of complexity turns on like Christmas tree lights, because innately in our brain, the brain syndicate amongst us all is when the shit hit the fan, we all go, okay, all right, we can no longer, absolutely no longer keep doing this like that. Now, hopefully we won't have to wait for a major war, nuclear explosion. Of course, we just had the pandemic. So the complexity of life is showing up for real. The challenge is, does the human and the human mind-brain syndicate, if you will, all of us together and individually, are we able to rise to the level to deal with that next level of complications? Because this is how businesses go out of business. When the external environment is so complex, it just smothers your company again. You can't deal. You go out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
So building in the capacity to be resilient and anti-fragile is the work there. But the reason for the work, the transcendent purpose, as we say in Spiral Dynamics Integral, the transcendent purpose is the well-being of the planet. That trumps everything.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
Now, everybody that may not realize that. You know, we go back to intrinsic validation. You go into a corporation where the color orange is the color we talk about with greed and stuff like that. I mean, each value system could be manifested positively, productively. Each value system could become cancerous and unproductive.
Right.
The content is immaterial. It's the construct. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's so philosophical, but that's the deal. You know, because, you know, you could have a person who's really into community, but then they become cancerous on the community itself because they close their system down. This is all we need to be. This is the problem you see with a lot of folks who are, let's just say, traditional Americans, all right? People who feel that we do not need to change. We need to change things conservative.
Right.
They're not open conservatives. They're closed-minded. And you can be closed-minded to be any persuasion, you know. Anyway, that's it's fun stuff for me, you know. Yeah. But the community I'm plugged into globally is called the Living Cities Earth. And it's an interesting coalition of people. A lot of really, really well-intended. And it's global. I would like to see more of the Southern Hemisphere get involved. There's, for instance, there's no folks from Africa, South America, or South Central Asia.
So what is that? What is the purpose of Living Cities Earth? Is it to keep humanity from destroying each other? Or like?
Well, that's a good question. The premise is the way to make a difference is to focus on the cities saving the world, so to speak, as opposed nation states. They got a role to play. Institutions like medicine and the military, all these institutions, they play a role.
And babe, they play a very big role.
Yeah. But when you look at the cities in the world, there's over 10,000 cities in the world, with cities that are 500,000 or more. And then you got all the little towns and everything else, right? So the premise is, and I should have this more internalized, but I've only been involved for 3 months with them. The premise is we look to change the world. We are looking, they're working on getting 100 founding members. I'm one of the founding members. So they want 100 founding members to also reach 100,000 influencers to eventually get to a point where there's 1 million people that have been touched in some way, shape, or form by the work of Living Cities Earth that's trumpeting, if you will, the goodness of cities being the catalyst for positive change. And then from that 100 people who are founders to 100,000 people who are influencers to 1 million people who have been touched by the organization in the first year to eventually 10,000 cities having an element of it there. So I'm not explaining it really well, but they had a really well laid out thing. If you go to Living Cities Earth website, it's just beginning. We're just on the, they existed. I was called by a couple of folks from Canada. Of course, I was flattered. Say, hey, we're coming in from Canada. We'd like to talk to you, Daryl. One of my Spire Dynamics colleagues, a woman named Marilyn Hamilton, who wrote a book on the integral city. Mm. You know, integral is the Ken Wilber methodology, right, which says what's important is to focus on the intention, that I, we, it, you know, me, all of us, and then the planet, something like that. Anyway, Marilyn introduced me to these people. They came to Ojai and sat down with me, and we hit it off. So I said, sure, I'm a joiner. You're not joining.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, sure, I'll join. And then next thing I know, I'm on all these teams. Like, wait a minute, I really have too much to do already. So, but anyway, it's kind of like a very inspirational group, you know? There's no money. Nothing like that. It's just something I care about. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's interesting because there was an organization, I remember going to a meeting, it was similar to Living Cities, and mm-hmm. where we tried to get together in Ojai and meet because there was some sort of initiative like that where cities could be if they could organize and make a change that you have all these model cities doing, you know, things mm-hmm. that are, you know, triple bottom line, right? Which is right. Environment, people.
Planet, people, purpose, something
purpose,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the triple bottom line. It's a big, yeah. Spire Dynamics is big into that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's important. And Ojai is a great place for that kind of stuff, you know, I think anyway. How did it go?
Well, nothing happened. We needed you to come in because I mean, there's always great intentions, but then there's kind of no follow through. And and I kind of want to get back into, you know, confidence and whatnot, but mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about, you know, the train explosion in Ojai and how they're shipping those chemicals into somewhere, I forgot what city in Texas.
The and ones, I just,
Yeah.
That was on the way to Texas, or you say
they had to remove those chemicals and put them somewhere else. And so I guess the governor, because somebody greased, maybe, you know, I mean, you know how that stuff works. Somebody paid somebody, said, okay, yeah, we'll just put it here. We'll bury it like 500,000 feet into the, I don't know. They're just going to bury it somewhere in
that community object
outside of Houston or Dallas. No. And I'm just like, what? Is I haven't really gone because it's just I just can't deal with it.
That's a serious intractable problem.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, okay, so these living cities are, I don't know, you know, like who said that was okay? Because I'm sure those people living next to wherever that landfill is going to be, and maybe 30 years from now, you know, like, oh well, let's just bury it and put a school here.
And now everybody's got two heads.
Right. Build homes here. Like, what?
What it is, that's the where companies, because apparently that same train company has had a couple of incidents like this. But when you take companies and governments and they sort of collude like that, you know, and nobody calls them out, catches them or highlights it with big flashing lights or something. Once again, 20 years down the road, you'll find, oh, all the kids attending that elementary school. Oh, what? It was built on top of the dump where they. Yeah. And is, you know, there's so many ills in the world. You know, you could get bogged down with admiring the problem. You know, I have my stepdaughter is like, as far as she's concerned, she just graduated, you know, and she's an idealist. And she's just like, the whole thing needs to be blown up and start over again.
Okay. Well, that might happen.
She said, I don't know how you think you could change it from the inside, Daryl. It doesn't work. They're like, well, you know, we'll see.
But it's one by one. I mean, it's people that like you, like the founder Azidis, Ken Wilber, you know, all these people who have these organizations and are trying to implement that. I mean, I don't know if anyone's gone into Exxon or BP or, you know, these big, huge conglomerates. I mean, they're right. Conglomerates.
We worked with Conoco for a little bit, you know, to say we made the mission of Conoco to save the planet. We made it their mission. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you now, in about 50 years, if you might lose half of those fossil fuel companies, but the smart ones are going to make the transition because they are closer to the solution than they are to the problem. They are as close, I'll put it like this. They are as close to the solution as they are to the problem.
Right.
If they have smart leadership, and this is how smart dynamics work. If everybody in your company is orange or all involved and interested in success, real leaders are not there. They're a couple of levels complexity above that, which is to say they understand the human dynamic and the planetary dynamic and will guide that very success-oriented value system to become more open to the next possibility. And the next possibility, by definition, is to be more people-friendly. And once you have people-friendliness on top of the success, because you don't lose that value. Once you have that value intact, the philosophy and the theory is, once that value is intact, you don't lose it. You just transcend to the next thing that makes sense. And after you've been successful, for instance, everybody involved with Living Cities Earth are very successful people in their own right. And now they go, is this it? Is this it? And they come to the
Should I build a rocket to go into to the stratosphere?
He's still in this orange space there, you know. And you got people. I'm going to tell you what, you have people in the orange space who will be healthily orange and they may not ever leave that value system. But for those who can and think that it makes sense, they will. And right now, the planet in general, you're having more and more people move into the space of appreciating humans. The problem with that is what you experienced. Once you are all in that space and it's a kumbaya thing, there's nobody there to make decisions. And we're all holding hands. We're in our circle. But yes, we need to save the planet. But nobody's taking action, which is it was useful to get there. But is that it? And so there's always a next thing. And right. This is fascinating. You know, I'm going to do a session in Spartanamics here, and I'll invite you to it because it's so rich, you know, but it's dense. It's a little bit dense. But the takeaway of it is this. As life conditions become more complex for people to deal with, what happens in the spiral dynamics theory is you oscillate from express self to sacrifice self. And you do that oscillation as you spiral up the levels of complex thinking, you know, and it's just fascinating. It's just fascinating. So when folks are holding hands, singing Kumbaya, because we're all people and we know it, but like you said, nothing happened. Because they beat down the success thing so much. Right. Like, we know what you're in the room. You can't be in a room. But the fact is we need each other. Everybody, they need to bring their stuff because no one has a corner on the truth.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because so I'm originally from Nepal and I had moved back and there's, you know, that country has so many amazing resources that is just being... And it's a very poor country. I don't think we can say third world, but I'm going to say it because I'm from there. And I can say it. It's a third world country. They call it now developing country. And I'm like, no, it's not developed. If you're still, you know, exploiting labor, right. Exploiting labor. There's no running water, you know, there's no healthy, clean water. And I've always said, you know, just being there and just how, you know, I mean, all governments are most, if not all governments have a lot of corruption and you see this even more blatantly in smaller countries like Nepal, because it's very clear. And I always say, you know, like the only thing, like what's it, we would talk, I would talk about this with my uncle and my, you know, my friends, like what's it going to take to change Nepal, to get this government to change? Because, you know, it wasn't too long ago, like about 25, almost 30 years ago, it was a monarchy and they had a revolution. And so, but what I said is like, they need to do some deep psychological work. Because they're not doing anything but for their own self-interest and to keep, you know, to keep their generational wealth within their, and it doesn't go outside of anyone else. Cause you know, I mean, there's pollution is rampant. I mean, like who gets, there's certain times of the year where the trash gets so bad. There's a cholera outbreak.
Right. Yeah.
Like once or twice a year. And it's just what is going on? And it's not like that can't happen in the US, but it's just like what year are we in?
But it is
So that's where these institutions and the work that you and I do are why they're so important, because you gotta change from within in order to make those ripples into the world.
One at a time. But somebody needs to deal with it at the systemic level too.
Right.
And like so if this little movement that I'm plugging into Living City Earth is to make a difference, they want to move in some place like Nepal and see if they could craft something. You know, let the folks who have all the stuff keep their stuff. But can you give us a minute to work with the people who need stuff?
Yeah, basic human needs.
Yeah. And if you're not losing your stuff, just don't interrupt us from helping them get a little something.
Right.
It's just amazing how much work that tends to be.
World problems aside, and that's the reason, that's the driver behind why you do have done the work you've done on such an incredible scale, might I say. That's what I'm just like, wow, that's really, I know you're not doing it to be impressive, but I was looking at the Adesis website and I was like, oh my guys, you know, the technical jargon. I'm like, what? But that's where you learned Reiki. And I'm like, that just, shifted my whole perspective on who they are as a graduate school and what they're trying to do. And so throughout this whole through line comes, is your personal confidence. Like you are such a confident person and you're a confident corporate, I mean, maybe, you know, corporate healer is what you are.
That's a good way. That's what Adesis considers them. You know, Adesis practitioners consider themselves corporate therapists. That's their little moniker.
Yeah.
And it's unique. A lot of corporations will not admit they got a problem.
Right.
They will not. Because if they do, they feel they'll be penalized in the market.
Right.
But when if they're enlightened, they'll appreciate somebody like a decent practitioner coming in. You know?
Right.
They like to say they're not consultants, they're insultants.
Like insulting, like, or you mean in, or you
they're
mean like
tell,
insult?
They're going to tell the company about itself for real. Now, right. They might get fired after right. They insult the company who right. Just hired them. They make sure they get their contract intact first.
So where does that drive, like, were you, and this is what's fascinating about martial arts, about instilling like peaceful confidence, because mm-hmm. when you do something, get involved in some sort of organization, like that, whether it be, I don't know, it seems like movement, sports, mm-hmm. something that moves your body, that embodied confidence, it carries through in so many, and it doesn't mean that, you know, it's all, you know, people are always 100% confident. It's not always at 10, it wavers, but for right. some people, maybe it doesn't waver all the way down. And if mm-hmm. it does, it's, you know, confidence is a dynamic thing. So where do you think your confidence came from?
Well, so, you know, I don't know, but I realized I took an assessment once. I don't know if you're familiar with 360 degree assessments. You ever heard of this?
There's a few assessments that I've taken recently.
I've taken them all.
Okay. Right? I've not heard of 360.
Well, 360 degree is another corporate assessment where they ask some of your subordinates, they ask some of your colleagues at your same level, and they'll ask your bosses above you, how's Daryl functioning in the environment? And somewhere along the line, you rate your, and then you rate yourself, right? It's kind of embarrassing, but so, you know, generally I was okay, but everybody had me for like say on 1 to 10, Daryl's a 7, right? Every time mm-hmm. anybody else said Daryl was a 7, I said I was a 9. Mm-hmm. So I realized, oh, I have a blind spot. I am basically overly confident. I'm too confident, you know? And so that was fascinating to me. I don't know. I don't know the answer to where that comes from. I just don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, when I was young, when I was a kid, I always wore glasses. You know, I don't have my glasses on now, but I remember my mom, my aunts and uncles and everything, they would always, oh yeah, Daryl's so smart, you know? And so I think probably maybe from that, I guess, I don't know. That's a good question. I've always been confident and I can't tell you why, you know, I'm not particularly super good looking, super tall or super smart. In many ways, I'm just a regular dude, you know? But I think I learned somewhere along the lines, and this is when I met Dr. Beck. When I met Dr. Beck, like in 98, I was just finishing my master's or something like that. And when I met him, in fact, I met the Adesis guy where I eventually went to graduate school. He was in the same workshop with me with Dr. Beck in San Francisco.
And Dr. Beckett is the Spirodynamic.
Yes, founder of Spirodynamics. So we were in the same guy. So interesting how life just blends because right. Sunil Dwivedi was also the guy who introduced me to heartfulness. So we've just had our lives intertwined ever since. And I would say my newfound confidence that really took off probably occurred right about the time when I met Dr. Beck, because he opened up a whole nother world to me. And then I realized at that time, I said to myself, okay, now I know. Now I know what my destiny is. It's a good thing when you go, this is my destiny. So Spirodynamics made all the difference in the world to me across the board with everything. You know, it even influences my kung fu. Yeah. So yeah, I think that was a shift. That was a noticeable shift, in my opinion, about my confidence. Now I took that assessment and I was so off the chart. I'm like, ooh, I better go get some therapy and bring that down a bit. It's helpful sometimes, though, you know.
Right, right. Keep your. Well, I mean, I think that says it right there, right? That you are open to changing. Mm-hmm. You know, yourself, like, oh, I feel confident. I'm like, oh, well, I guess maybe I'm a little too overconfident. Maybe I should do something about it. Where most people are like, they don't know what the fuck they're talking. Like,
That's right. And that's a sign that, okay, you need to go do some work on yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You go, because the attitude matters, you know? So, but no, yeah, that's a good question. You know, I really ponder that one, you know, because like you said, if you're centered and you're confident, you're not threatened. You know, you're just not threatened. And if you've done any kind of meditative work, Reiki, whatever healing thing you've done, I believe it helps your self-awareness. And people who are effective in life come from a place of being relatively self-aware of their pluses and their minuses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never had a problem paying a consultant more money than I made, because whatever that he or she brought to the game, I realized I need that right now. I don't care what the price is. They need to be involved with this. A lot of people won't do that. A lot of people say, wait, I'm not hiring anybody that's right. going to make more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a value system. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting that I was just thinking, you know, I've met so many people on this journey, you know, working with people with, you know, doing Reiki and intuitive energy healing. And, mm-hmm. you know, they come to me because they're at a crisis. Right. And it's a purpose. Like, what? Yeah. I don't want to do this work anymore. I mean, all the people that I have talked to, interviewed on this podcast came from the corporate world and got into some sort of mindfulness or, you know, some mm-hmm. sort of spiritual work that now they're doing because that's what resonates. That's who they are.
Right.
And so here you are, you know, you kind of walked into, you know, doing all this, you know, keeping that through line with what you've learned through your martial arts and that, what do we call it? Peaceful confidence and understanding, when you study martial arts, you know, it's not about the conflict. It's not about, you know, how high your kicks are, it's about your mental and spiritual strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm not a martial, but that's.
It's very much that. Yeah. Know yourself.
Right.
You want to know yourself, and it gives you awareness to avoid situations. So, I mean, you know, I'm a believer in that. If the sixth sense has been developed in your martial arts, you avoid situations that put you at risk. You just avoid it. You're not there. That's the real masterful thing is that, okay, I will not be in that vulnerable situation. I may be vulnerable in some ways. I mean, in some ways I may be a vulnerable human being, but I will not avail myself to being injured in that area. I mean, if that makes sense, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. What I was saying is that you've stayed in the corporate world because you're a secret healer, a corporate healer.
That's good.
I mean, like, that's what's true. I'm like, wow. Like, you know, most people are like, oh my, I can't, this, I don't want to be an attorney anymore. I don't want to be be CEO of this company. I don't want to do, oh God, I'm going to start my own company and, you know, and do this and whatever. And
then run right up into it again.
And they leave it, you know, but you have, because it's just fascinating that, you know, how, it's just serendipity. Like, oh, and then mm-hmm. That's where you met Desus. And then the Spiro Dynamics guy, you know, and getting into these, learning these, as you call them, learning these teachings
mm-hmm.
about how to get people who work in companies to move their internal needle from like whatever greed and, you know, jealousy to being more in community and being more, I'm going to use the word mindful, but being more mindful, conscientious about their actions and how it's impacting other people and not creating a toxic work environment and not putting toxicity out into the world.
And it's still there. Trust
me. You know. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I know, it's still there right now. Like, oh God. Yeah, it's still there. You just kind of like, yeah, it's amazing that it's still there, but it is. It's so fascinating.
I'm glad that you haven't given up, because if you did, then we'd be...
I'm going to fight the good fight, you know?
Yeah, my goodness. Like, that's just incredible, you know? Like, wow, he's still working in the corporate, you know, because of because you believe in the goodness of people and like, okay, you're here and doing this. Let's put the soul, like you said, let's put the soul back into this, you know, corporation. And
it's a work.
Yeah, it is. And that's what, that's why we are doing what we're doing. So what is next for you? What is your next?
So I am, probably for me, Dr. Beck passed away last year.
Oh.
And I mean, he lived a good long life and his son would like me to take over his company. I'm interested in that.
Spirodynamics?
Yes.
Wow.
The Spirodynamics group. They all think like I'm the heir apparent, but there's a lot of people doing Spirodynamics stuff. So I would just be one more person in the chorus of let's make a difference. And so probably what's next is to continue to be involved with the community. We're all now having to go forward without Dr. Beck. And that's what we're doing. And so what's next is I'm shifting my energy, time, and attention to more Spirodynamics stuff. Hmm. But I can only do that because of the well-being I receive from my martial arts community. It's just a very strange thing to say, but I have to have that to be whole. Then I can do other things. And so Spirodynamics is a higher calling for me, but I can't get there unless I take care of my body and my mind and my community, so to speak.
Right.
What's next is the unknown uncertainty around how do we now maneuver without Dr. Beck?
Right. Well, that's what you, fortunately you're a doctor in transformational change or transformation organization.
You would think I'm be ready for it. We'll see.
You are ready for it. It's fascinating too that, you know, so for you, self-care is Kung Fu. Is this Kung Fu?
That's the way of putting it. Yeah.
It is. Let me put it into my terms.
No, self-care is very important. Yeah. And that's right. That's true. That's very apropos. That's what it is. I didn't realize it, but that's what it is. Yes. I think it's well said.
Yeah. And then it sounded to me like, I was like, oh my God, he's teaching them self-care in your organization, with the work that you do, with the work that you've done in the past and will continue to do is teaching people to take care of themselves so that they don't burn out. Right.
Yeah. Because you don't want to go into a caustic situation. I mean, it debilitates people to go in knowing that they have to go into work on guard. I gotta go. It's terrible.
I see it.
I see it. And in my environment, that's not the environment, but we'll see. Yeah. Anyway. No, I really appreciate being with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, it was just fascinating to learn more about you and like who you are and what you're about and the really amazing work that you're doing in the world. Like,
I'm glad I shared it with you because I've been following your work and I'm like, oh, right. She's doing her thing. It's very healthy. Very active. Like, I need to get modern like that, you know? So I'm glad to do this
podcast. You are doing modern. What are you talking about? Like, that's even more modern is, you know, trying to get people, you know, more heartful, you know, me being more heart-centered and coming from that place instead of like this shell of like, well, I'm tough and I gotta, you know.
Yeah. It's
very masculine way of doing things. Yeah.
Okay, a lot of people are still doing it.
So yeah, thank you so much for being here today with us. I'll put all the links of Spirodynamics and Living Cities Earth. I can't read my writing. That's here. Right. Living Cities Earth. Yeah. on this episode on the website.
Mountain Institute. Yeah.
Yes. I'll put all that. So
if I didn't realize I do all of that. Which is why I've been I know seriously you, going, thinking of going to India and taking a minute.
Yeah, you should. You should. Why not? You know, because that's part of your self-care too, right? Just to
very much so
regroup. Yeah. If you're being asked to step into, you know, taking care, you know, stepping into the Spirodynamics and organization and leading that, maybe it's a good time to like, let's regroup and what what is my value right now? What am I valuing right now in my life? Right.
That's true. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, so when I saw you, I was like, okay, yeah, this is good. You know, and I talked to Sunil. He said, Daryl, you need to come to India. I said, yes, I am. Okay. So,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Daryl, for being here in the company.
Thank you, Chanel. So God bless you. And thank you so much. This was fun.
This was fun. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you all for being here today and getting to know Daryl like I have, and have a great rest of your week, wherever you are in this timeline of listening to it. Thank you so much for listening to the Confident Healer Podcast. My name is Sharmila Mali, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find information about the guest or any links I referenced in the show notes. And would you help me grow the show by doing these two things? One, sharing the podcast with someone that you think needs to hear it. And two, supporting the podcast by becoming a patron and giving monthly or make a one-time generous donation. It helps me grow the show and I can just focus on making great episodes for you. You can listen, find the show notes, and the PayPal link to donate all in one convenient location, theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.